First of all, we read our text, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the place, that name of that place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, we want to notice the words of Abraham again in verse 8. My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Not only is there one of the clearer types from the Old Testament found in this account, but there also are two of the most important people with regard to the history of Israel to be found as well in this account. Abraham is the one, and was one of the most revered names in all of the history of the Jew. They reckoned him to be the father of their race, and they to be his children, his offspring. They much treasured their descent from Abraham, and often in the New Testament we hear them saying, We be the seed of Abraham. Now the other personage here that is so important is the man Isaac. Now Isaac was the promised son of Abraham by Sarah, and he was not born until Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in their years. And in several ways, we could point out, that Isaac is one of the most blessed types of the only begotten Son of God there is to be found anywhere in the Old Testament. Perhaps we'll look at that a little bit later. Now, this man Abraham is brought before us back in Genesis chapter 11. He was the son of Terah. He was of the lineage of that son of Noah by the name of Shem. His wife was Sarai. And we learn early that she was a barren woman, even as a young wife. And then the question is, how did Abraham come to be a follower and a servant of the Most High God? Was Abraham raised in a godly home and in a godly religion? No, Abraham is an example of the sovereign election of God that is set forth in the Scripture. Not only the sovereign election of God, but also the effectual grace of our God. So that Stephen said of this in his speech in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, quote, "The Lord of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan," unquote. Now, in glory, God appeared unto Abraham. The God of glory magnificently, sovereignly appeared unto Abraham. And he called Abraham forth out of his country and away from his kinsmen and family and such like. And we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, and it is verse 7, quote, "You are the Lord, the God who chose Abraham and brought him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldee and gave him the name Abraham," unquote. God made covenant with this man Abraham, and he gave Sarah and him the promise of a son in which his seed would be called. In Isaac shalt thy seed be called. But before that promise is fulfilled, before that has come to pass, God puts Abraham, may I call it, to an awful test. He puts Abraham in a terrific test before that is fulfilled, saying to him in our text, in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, God did tempt Abraham. We also read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, when he was tried, that is, when Abraham was tried by God. Now, we note the words as to the time when God did tempt or try or prove Abraham, as well as the essence and the nature of the trial that God put upon Abraham. The essence of the trial is this: go and offer Isaac as a burnt offering upon a mount that I will direct you to. Genesis 22 and verse 2. The time was, in verse 1, after these things. Now, the most recent thing being in chapter 21, the disinheriting of Ishmael and the casting out of Ishmael and his mother Hagar, his son born after the flesh with a handmaid. Once Abraham and Sarah had cherished the hope that they might receive the promised seed that God had promised them by means of the housemaid Hagar. You see that in Genesis chapter 16. But him God commanded to be disinherited or cast out of the house and family. And that thing was very grievous unto Abraham. Nevertheless, he was obedient, and he sent away Hagar and Ishmael out of his house with the assurance in Genesis 21 and verse 12, "Let it not be grievous in your eyes, for in Isaac will your seed be called. The casting out of the son Ishmael makes no alteration at all in my purpose, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. So now, only Isaac is left as a son in the house of Abraham. Ishmael is gone, and gone for good. And Abraham's hope of being the father of many, and the father of many nations, and the establishing of the covenant promise, were now centered in, or rested squarely in, the son Isaac. All this is bound in the life of Isaac. He is the one through whom the promise will be fulfilled. And he, as a young man, is dwelling peacefully at home in the house of Abraham. But then comes a bolt out of the blue, as we may say, when the God of heaven and of earth comes and commands Abraham in verse 2, "Take now thy son, your only Isaac, whom you love, and offer him where I will show you for a burnt offering." Again, in verse 12, Isaac is referenced as thy son, thine only, the blessed and beloved son, the son of his love, and most important of all, the one in whom Abraham's seed would be called. It is laid under a sentence of death, that one in whom the promise is to be realized now is laid under a sentence of death. And all I can say, what a death it was that God instructed Abraham. It was as a burnt offering. It was not to be a natural death, like Moses died in the presence of the Lord, nor would it be from the afflictions and trials and weaknesses of an old age, nor would it be of a short duration of sickness that he would die, but he would die as a burnt offering. As to its nature, it is seen in two things which Abraham brought along. Number one, Abraham brought a knife. Abraham brought with him his knife, sufficient unto the slaying. Secondly, he brought the wood for the fire. And with a knife and a wood in his possession. The knife was not for protection, but was that by which Abraham would lift it in the slaying of his son, as in verse 10. Either by plunging it in Isaac, or by slitting his throat, as was done with a beast at the tabernacle. So Gill surmises that Abraham might intend to cut his son up in quarters, as was done with the beastly sacrifices under the old economy. And then the wood for the fire, by which the sacrifice was burned and consumed to ashes upon the altar. Consumed by the fire, thus a burnt offering. Abraham was to do both. He was, one, to slay, and two, he was to offer his son as a burnt offering, as seen by the knife to slay and the wood for the fire. And the victim was to be his only beloved, blessed, promised son of his old age. Now we reject the idea of some that Abraham is simply hallucinating through all of this event that we have read about this morning. Some have said that Abraham fell under some kind of a strong delusion, under some kind of a deception, for he received the direct command from God. So he was not hallucinating. To slay his son, not an ox, not an ass, not a goat or a sheep or a bullock or a red heifer. We notice in verse 7 that Isaac expected the burnt offering would be a lamb, or as the margin has it, a kid. Where is the kid for the burnt offering. Father, here's the fire, here's the knife, here's the wood. Where is the kid for the burnt offering? That shows us that Isaac was familiar with burnt offerings, that he had been, and that he had not been told as of yet that he was to be the one that would be offered. He thinks it strange that there is no lamb brought along to be slain. Now they're drawing near to the place of the sacrifice. Now they stand at the mount where the offering is to be made. And as they do, Abraham says to the servant, "You wait here." Now get this faith of Abraham. "You wait here, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return unto you again." But there Abraham lays the wood for the burnt offering upon his son Isaac. He binds it upon him in verse 6. Abraham holds the fire and the knife. And Gill says this is the first mention of either fire or knife in the Scripture. As they ascended to the place of sacrifice, at least in the Scripture, their conversation was limited. It went something like this, the recorded conversation between the two as they went. Isaac says, "Father," and Abraham says, "Yes, my son, here I am. What is it?" And Isaac says to his father, "We have the fire, we have the wood and the knife, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answers, and answers only in pure faith, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Note, if you will, God will provide. God will provide Himself. God will provide Himself a lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they reach the summit. There Abraham builds an altar, something he had done before in his worship of God, whether of dirt or stones, I cannot tell. And he put the wood in place and ready to ignite and to be burned. And the next thing that we read in verse 9 is that he bound Isaac his son and he laid him upon the altar of wood. Oh, that we could be privy to that very time when Abraham told Isaac that he is to be the one for the burnt offering. When for the first time he learns that his own father is minded to put him to death. And it must be that Isaac willingly laid down his life, freely submitted to the bonds that Abraham put upon him. For young Isaac surely might have been able to resist or overpower his father or flee from that place. But he gives himself willingly up to that altar, up to the death of that altar. He may have helped build that altar himself. He yields to the will of his father. He puts his hands in the cord, gives his body to stretch upon the altar, bears his neck to his father for the cutting of the knife, as if to say, "I am now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. The consuming fire of the altar is but minutes away." We can only wonder at the answer that Abraham gave to his son's question. Where is the lamb or the kid for the burnt offering? And the answer, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Up to this time, all that Abraham has been told is to take your beloved son, offer him there in that place for a burnt offering. Nor was he told any different until the knife is in his hand and ready to plunge into the son of his love. And yet he has no knowledge of that ram caught yonder by his horns in the thicket. But still the good man, faithful Abraham, answers, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Let's switch our focus to Hebrews 11 just for a moment. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 17 through verse 19, you have an account of this put in the analogy of the faith of the Old Testament, saying that there is something typical and something solemn in this event. But as we know, all types at one time or one point break down. Still, Genesis 22 is highly typical as we see the Father giving His only beloved Son up unto death. We see the only Son laying down His life in submission to the Father, offering Himself up by the Father's will. And how typical is Isaac, let us now consider. He was a son beloved, a beloved son. Thine only Isaac is how it is sometimes put here in Genesis 22. Greatly beloved by his father. And look again. We see Isaac carrying the wood for the burnt offering, even as Christ carried the wood or his cross. In Genesis 22 and verse 9, they came to the place. In Luke 23 and 33, they came to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. Isaac's death was to be by a burnt offering. Christ's death was to be even the death of the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, both were exceeding gruesome deaths and set forth the awful punishment that sin requires and that God insists that it must have. Fire speaks of judgment in so many places, and cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Fire is judgment, and the one hanging on the tree is cursed of God. This was perhaps the greatest trial of all of Abraham's trials during the course of his life, to give his only beloved son a burnt offering upon an altar. Not by casting him out, sending him away with a jug of water, and knowing that he's out there somewhere as Isaac was, as Ishmael was, but Isaac was to be put unto death. Now, those three verses in Hebrews 11, 17 through verse 19, they give an account of Abraham's trial or of Abraham's test when he was proved by God. And the trial consisted in Abraham offering up his son as a burnt offering. And Hebrews 11 and verse 17 and the last part of that verse says that, quote, he that received the promise offered up his only begotten, unquote. And in verse 18, it expands upon the strength of Abraham's faith. They not only offered his only begotten son, the son of his love, but the very same one in whom God said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Now, twice in verse 17 of Hebrews 11, the offering up of Isaac is mentioned. Offered up Isaac. Offered up his only begotten. But wait, for in the text in Genesis chapter 22, we learn that Abraham's hand was stayed at the last moment that he was about to slay Isaac. We learn that Isaac did not really and actually die, that God accepted Abraham's obedience, that God was both pleased and satisfied with Abraham's reaction, his obedience, his ready compliance in going about to slay his beloved son was proof that Abraham feared God and that he acted in faith. And Genesis 22 and 13 said that a ram was caught by its horns in a thicket, and that was offered up in the stead of Isaac. And Isaac was loosed, and Isaac rose up off of the altar, and Isaac went home with his father. Now, how says Hebrews twice that he was offered up? If he did not actually die, how was he offered up? John Owen, the great Puritan expositor, wrote on this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through verse 19, quote, "He, Abraham, actually and fully obeyed the command of God. He did it in will, heart, and affection, though it was not eventually done, and the will is accepted for the deed," unquote. And Abraham did as much for the trial of his faith as if his son had actually been put to death. And the author of Hebrews imputes to Abraham faith, the ultimate compliment of all, that even if he should put Isaac to death, God was able to raise him up again from the dead. Abraham would slay his son with a full and firm belief and conviction that even if dead, God is able to raise him up again. But that not even the death of Isaac would frustrate God's purpose and promise unto Abraham and to his seed to raise him from the dead and fulfill his promise, God was able to do, because God is able even to raise up the dead. And then in the end of verse 19 in Hebrews chapter 11, a wonderful thing is said, "From whence also he," Abraham, "received him," Isaac, "in a figure." Here is that tupos. Here is that type. Here is that pattern. Here is that picture. He received Isaac to life again in a type. Isaac was as good as dead in the eyes of his father, and in type he was raised up and went home with his father Abraham. Again, this quote from John Owen, quote, "Abraham had here the most illustrious immediate testimony from hearing God's acceptance and approbation than ever any other had in this world, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself," unquote. Now, to focus on the words of Abraham, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." A lamb for Himself to be offered as a sacrifice, a sin bearer, one to die for the sins of others. And I submit to you that Christ is that lamb that God has provided. Christ Himself is that lamb that God has promised and that Abraham spoke about. Consider, if you will, how often Christ is referred to in the New Testament as the Lamb of God, as of a lamb without spot and blemish. How come Christ to be referred to as a lamb? For He is often mentioned under the similitude Old and New Testament. The foundation of this is laid in the Old Testament. Let's see the similitude that applies to the Lord. In the Lamb that was slain for the Passover supper in Egypt, many sacrificial lambs that were offered upon the altar. Two were offered daily during the old economy. And hear what Isaiah foretells of Messiah. "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Isaiah 53 and 7. It is quoted in Acts 8 and 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. In a sense, Isaac was led by Abraham unto Mount Moriah, then led to the altar and there bound upon it. It is also likely that the beasts of sacrifice were led or brought unto or before the altar at the door of the tabernacle where they were to be slain. They were not slain at a distance afar off and then carried, dragged, or brought unto the altar. They were brought there to the altar before the door of the tabernacle, and there they were sacrificed as offerings for sin. They were quartered and put upon the coals of the altar and burned with fire. Yes, they were brought before the Lord, and they were slain before the tabernacle. And several times do we read that Christ was led, L-E-D, led after His arrest. If Isaac was led to Mount Moriah, then so was our Lord led as a lamb to the slaughter. First of all, He was led before Caiaphas, the high priest. Matthew 26 and 57, where were assembled all the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Also in Mark 14:53 and Luke 22:54 makes a record of this. He was led before the high priest Caiaphas. Secondly, He was led away before Pontius Pilate, who was the governor. Matthew 27 and 2. Mark 15 and 16, and Luke 23 and verse 1. Led from Caiaphas, led to Pilate the governor. Thirdly, He was led, and the word is used in the Scripture, He was led to Calvary to be crucified on the cross. Matthew 27:31, Mark 15:20, Luke 23 and 32, and John 19 and 16, all of them record He was led out to Calvary. Thomas Goodwin, the Puritan, believes that our Lord, in being led there, was led through the very gate where the sacrifices were led to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. But He was led as a lamb or a sheep to the slaughter. And it is common in both the Old and the New Testament to refer to Christ or Messiah as a lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The passage in Isaiah 53 and verse 7, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, is personally applied to Christ in Acts 8:32-35, when Philip began at that Scripture and preached unto the eunuch Jesus Christ out of Isaiah chapter 53. He is that lamb that God will provide for Himself. And the lamb was to be slaughtered, or the lamb was to be killed. It was to be cut off. It was to be put to death. And for what reason? Why was our Lord put upon the cross? The answer, God had ordained His death in that He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, as we read in Revelation 13 and 8. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God has made to light upon Him the iniquity of us all, as Isaiah said. Upon Him all the sins of all of the elect were made to light upon Him. God has provided Himself a Lamb, and said Lamb is not a stranger, but one His very own Son, beloved and only begotten. The Son that God loved, the Son that God has promised a numerous seed would live through Him. And to justify and to save many was He to die upon the cross. And then He will live again and reign forever and forever. This one in whom the covenant promises stand, who will save His people from their sins, Matthew 1 and verse 21. And yet, as with Isaac in type, so with Christ in reality. While Isaac was the type or the pattern, Christ is the reality. He is cut off. And as with Isaac's, it was his own father that lifted the knife against his most precious son. So it was the most holy God that exacted of his son at the cross the due reward of our sin. It was him that put him to grief. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, Isaiah said in chapter 53, that commanded the sword of justice to awaken and to go forth and to smite the sun. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. He awakened that long slumbering sword and gave it a command to smite his fellow, the shepherd. Isaiah 53:10. His soul was made, or did make in the margin, an offering for sin. John declared him to be the Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world. John 1:29, John 1 and 36. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Yes, in the fullness of time, God revealed the Lamb that He had ordained before the foundation of the world. He provided Himself a Lamb for a burnt offering in that His own precious Son was led out to Calvary, bound upon the cross with nails, and crucified that He might redeem His elect from their bondage in sin. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, Peter tells us it is with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah said. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God was not spared by God at the last minute, as was Isaac, but was delivered up for us all. He spared not His Son, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. While Isaac only typically and figuratively died and was raised in a type or a figure, the Lamb of God's providing did really and actually die, taken down, laid in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and lived then again. And behold, is alive forevermore. Death hath no more dominion over Him. John Brown, a writer that I like, wrote, "Salvation is not amnesty." Now think about that for a moment. Salvation is not amnesty, but redemption, atonement, and reconciliation through Christ. It is not simply that God puts our sins away without just recompense. Not amnesty, but redemption, atonement, and reconciliation. The Lamb of God's providing. He has provided a Lamb. Christ died for us. He saves us, not by dismissing our sins, but by bearing them in His own body on the tree. Thank God, He has provided Himself a Lamb for a burnt offering. And my friend, this morning, there is that one and only way of redemption, salvation from sin, and that is by the cross of Christ, the death that our Lord died, taking our sins which were imputed to Him, bearing them away, answering their cost and paying their debt, and bearing them away to be remembered against us no more. Not amnesty, but redemption. Not amnesty at all, but redemption. He must bear our sins. And he did as the Lamb of God. Bore them to the tree, suffered and died, until he said, "It is finished." A Lamb of God's providing. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand to our feet, please, for a word of prayer.